Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We are 15 days away from kickoff of the 2017 season. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Co-host TJ Inn will be along with us shortly. Hopefully we don't have the mic issues we had on Monday night, but today we are previewing the 2017 Indiana defense coming off of a great season in 2016, which saw them vastly improved on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll see if they could take that next step and become a top 25 defense and lead this team back to another bowl game and help achieve Tom Allen's goal of breaking through. So lots of good stuff to come. We'll go position by position again go through players we like to see, players who have to play well, guys who need to step up, sleeper players, all of that stuff. So right now we welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, welcome back to the show. We're talking football again, just 15 days in an hour, or 59 minutes, until IU kicks off against Ohio State.
Yeah, we're basically here 2 weeks out pretty much from the opener, the off season. You know, it's definitely a grind for us. On the site, but, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't say it. You know, it has flown by, but I am definitely more than ready to see college football back in our lives. Really looking forward to that for sure. And I think tonight, you know, we're having a podcast that I think certainly this is probably going to be the best defense on paper. You know, they have to go out and do it, but this is likely the best defense on paper certainly in my lifetime, I think. You could make an argument for the bull. I'm about to turn 30 here in September 3rd. So, you know, in the past 25 to 30 years, I think this is certainly there's an argument for this being the best defense on paper. The pieces are there, and we'll talk about it for them to go out and have a top, you know, I don't know what's realistic to hope for, but I know the Hoosiers are hoping to be in the top 25 defensively. And it's a big time goal, but it's one that's not outlandish.
Yeah, IU finished 45th in the nation in total defense, giving up 380.1 yards per game. Compare that to 2015 when they were 121st, giving up 509.5 yards per game. And that's more than just, you know, something funky was going on in the 2016 season or rules change or something like that. This was clearly the impact of Tom Allen coming in, getting his guys to believe in his scheme, believe in their talents and leadership abilities and going out and making plays. You saw it in the opener against FIU with two pick sixes. They had a safety as well, things like that. It just, you know, this defense carried that team to the bowl game last year. And a lot of those guys return, you know, 10 out of the 11 starters return. On defense, Ralph Green has graduated. He had a tremendous year last year, but you hope that some of these younger guys can step up, that Nate Hoff has the year that Ralph Green had last year, and so on and so forth. So let's start with, I don't want to call it the weak link of the defense, but the part of the defense that has some question marks, and that's the defensive line. Nile Sykes, who was supposed to be the premier pass rusher on this defensive line, is out for the year. and IU has to replace him. So, you know, right now you have Greg Gooch and Robert McCray at the ends. You're also, you know, Alan Stallings' name has been thrown around as well in there. Lance Bryant, Michael Zimba, Britt Beery, guys like that who we talked about on the Peaks preview this afternoon on that video. Those are young guys that need to step up and play to the abilities that IU recruited them for. So we'll see what they do at pass rush. And then on the interior, you have Nate Hoff, Mike Barwick, Jerome Johnson, Juan Harris, and some other guys. So, you know, that it's if Mark Hagan could do this, guys like Pat Doherty made him into a legitimate Big Ten defensive lineman. I think the talent is a little bit better and deeper this year than it was last year. So he has a little bit more clay to mold with, and hopefully he could get the same results, because if they could get that pass rush going and get to the quarterback, where last year they were a slight hair off, slightly slow to the ball carrier or the quarterback, to where, you know, if you're 1 second faster, you get to the quarterback, get that sack, you probably knock off Michigan. You knock off Nebraska, and maybe you knock off Penn State, where Trace McSorley escaped a few of those tackle for losses that would have changed the game. So what do you need to see from the defensive line this year?
But, you know, starting on the interior, I feel pretty good about it. Nate Hoff, I think he's just really solid. I think he's a reliable contributor for you. We've seen that more times than not. And then next to him, I think that whoever his, you know, defensive tackle starting partner ends up being, you're going to see a lot of guys rotate in there. And I think you're right. The position is now deeper than it has been, which is, you know, what the coaching staff knew when they came in. Mark Hagan came back on, Tom Allen came on. You know, they publicly stated we need to get deeper here, and they've done that. There's still some ways to go there, but I think a player that if Juan Harris can, and then the work that he has done to get himself into better playing shape, you know, should be commended. He's really put himself in position to have a good freshman season, which is important. If he can follow through on that and have himself a good season where he can be a valuable contributor as just a face eater on the inside, then I feel really good about the interior of the line. And then pass rush is definitely the biggest concern for this defense. Last year, you know, the pass rush that they did get, which was not enough, but the pass rush that they did get was mainly based on scheme. They were able to scheme pressure, which, you know, you can do that, and that's fine, but, and I'm sure that they'll continue to do some of that. Every team does, but the best pass rush is going to be when you can keep your guys in coverage, not have to scheme for it, and you just have one individual, your defensive end or your inside tackle, just beating their man individually and, you know, maybe doing it consistently enough that they force a double, which opens up holes for other guys. So who's going to be that player or those players that step up and, you know, beat their man individually and gets the passer without the Hoosiers having to scheme their way into pressure? And I'm not sure who that's going to be. I do think Alan Stallings is the prime name to watch as someone that did not contribute at all last year. Was really unfortunate that that he saw the field at all, really burned a year of his, you know, of his playing time that's we've talked about that before, but I think he's a guy that, you know, former state high school wrestler, so there's that kind of technique that translates once he has filled out his frame, which he has. He's got the length that you look for. Lance Bryant has got the raw physical tools to be a really good pass rusher. It's just a question of how he transitions. Michael Zimba, a little bit more of a, you know, bull rusher, if you will. Greg Gooch, a bull rusher. And then I think that Robert McRae is a player that if he can stay healthy, which has been a problem for him throughout his career, but if he can stay healthy, I think that the coaching staff really likes his potential to be a good contributor in his senior season. So I would think the pass rush is certainly the biggest concern, but I do think that there's just a couple of more pieces that they didn't have last season that they now have. And I think if you throw enough, you know, enough pieces there at the puzzle, eventually one of them's going to stick. And I do think they'll find at least a couple of pretty good pass rushers. I don't think they'll have an elite guy there just yet. They keep adding guys in the recruiting classes. You know, eventually that's going to happen. But I do think that they're going to have some serviceable pass rushers. And overall, I think that this defensive line, it's not going to be bad at all. I think it's going to be a very serviceable defensive line, but still, based on how good the other two parts of the defense are, this is definitely the, again, as we enter the season, the position group with the largest question mark next to it, really the only question mark next to it for this defense.
Yeah, and you make a good point about, you know, the pass rush and the secondary. I think having the secondary that IU has and the linebackers gives them
yeah.
the freedom to play that one-on-one defense on the outside and let Marcelino and those safeties cover receivers and have those linebackers rush and get a six-man rush like that. So, you know, that strength plays into it too. Now, ideally, you would like to get pressure with four, but IU has
yeah.
the horses in that secondary to be able to blitz and to not always get burned, you know, by that. And that gives that four-man rush some time too. Guys stay covered longer. It gives them an extra second or so, and they could get to the quarterback then. So we'll see. I think the defensive line, it's going to be a product is going to be greater than the sum of its parts, or the sum is greater than the parts that are there. And we'll see how that goes. Let's move to.
I mean,
if
you had to pick one guy that ends up, you know, right now it's just a guess, but if you had to pick one guy that you feel ends up leading this team in sacks, who do you think that ends up being?
Oh man,
based on what you've seen in camp.
It could be a whole probably McRae.
Okay.
You'd like it not to be Tigray Scales, just because you
right.
don't really want your linebacker to lead the team in sacks. Although he has more than, you know, he led the nation in tackles for losses last year. You know, he's ready to fly around, and I think he had 7.5 sacks or something. But you'd like one of these defensive ends to get in there and pressure the quarterback. But I'd go McRae or Gooch, you know, whichever one stays healthy of those two. And then hopefully one of these young guys comes in and can help out too. But I'd go Robert McRae. So let's move on to the secondary, TJ. We put out our secondary preview or safeties preview today. We're going to do corners tomorrow and touch on those. But this secondary group is probably the best secondary IU's had in a very, very long time. Probably going back to the Bill Mallory days. Athletically, it's probably the best secondary they've ever had. You have Rafant at one corner. You'll have Marcelino Ball, who's now finally 18 as a sophomore, at that Husky position. John Crawford, who is, you know, had 7 career interceptions, which leads the team returning interceptions. Tony Fields, who had a tremendous junior year last year, he's back for his senior year. And then you have a combination of A'shaun Riggins, Andre Brown at that other corner. Depends on who's healthy there. But, you know, Andre Brown is back. He supposedly had a great scrimmage on Saturday as well. And then you have those depth pieces like Chase Dutra, Jamie Thompson, who we forgot to put in our initial preview for the safeties. He's back for his final go-around healthy. He needs to stay healthy and be that contributor that IU fans and the coaching staff were hoping for when he transferred in from Iowa Western, and you know, he's at Ohio State before that. So if he could, if those guys, if you have a whole bunch of upperclassmen as depth, as well as freshman Juwan Burgess, who's been at safety, and Brian Fitzgerald, who's been at the Husky position, along with Zeke Walker, and then of course you have Ben Bach. Just the depth of talent of this secondary is as good as IU's had in a very, very long time. And they, you know, that's going to be the strength of this defense, and allow these linebackers who are very, very good to do things that maybe normally IU defenses couldn't do before. So we'll see. I like, you know, let's start with Fant. Rashard Fant's great cover corner. He's probably going to go up against the team's number one receiver, unless they played the field and boundary corner a lot like they did last year. But he's a guy you could trust on the outside. 20 pass deflections or passes defense last year, 3 interceptions. If he could turn some of those, you know, have a little bit better luck on some of those pass deflections, and, you know, turn those 3 interceptions into 6 or 7, he'll have an All-American year and get sent off into the NFL on a high note. At the other corner, I mentioned Andre Brown. He played a lot of football his freshman year, missed last year with a shoulder issue. He's coming back. He's fully healthy. Gives a guy, another young guy with some playing experience there. A'shaun Riggins as well, who had a tremendous year last year. And then Tyler Green could go there. I mean, you're going almost 6 deep with Raheem Lane and LaDainian Hunt at the other corners. And those guys could fly. Those guys, if they get their hands on the ball and catch it, you know, you might get a pick 6. And you'll definitely see those guys probably on special teams, maybe in the return game, or as gunners down a punt or kickoff return. But these corners, it's as deep as IU's been.
I mean, I agree with everything you said. We won't belabor the point, but I think that the most, I think that beyond just the sheer talent that they have at the start, you know, the athletic ability of Crawford and Marcelino Ball, who fits perfectly with that Husky position, and then Tony Fields, you know, has really turned into a really solid contributor for Indiana. That not quite the playmaker that Crawford is, but that's not the role that he has on this defense. The role that he has is being a sure tackler and, you know, really reliable in coverage. And it's not that he can't make plays, I mean, he made quite a few last year. But Crawford is just, you know, such a dynamic playmaker that really what you're looking for in your free safety. Which is kind of the role he plays. Not exactly that, but, you know.
I think they call it a rover.
Rover.
That's what they call it, the rover position.
But I think that beyond that, you know, and then Fant, obviously, and Riggins, or Brown, which if he emerges to, you know, and he's challenging Riggins, and that's good news. I mean, beyond that, you have the experience depth, which most teams do not have that, and Indiana certainly has not in the past. It's a luxury to have guys that have played quite a bit of football and are now upperclassmen that are, you know, your backups. They're going to see the field quite a bit. I mean, you need, you know, 9, 10 defensive backs to get through a season, and those guys are going to have to contribute. They're going to contribute on special teams. They're going to contribute in practice. They're going to contribute in games. And to have players like Ben Bach, like Chase Dutra, who the coaches, especially Coach Joseph, you know, they've raved about how much of a leader Chase Dutra is, and calling him, you know, him and Tigray Scales, the heart of the defense, because of how hard he works. And he doesn't care what his role is. He's going to do what's required for the team. And I think that's what you have with those veteran pieces. And then, you know, the good mix influx of youth. Jawan Burgess and Bryant Fitzgerald, who in the past for Indiana, they would have been forced right into action. They would have been needed to play right away. And they can play right away for you, but they're not going to be required to get in there and start. So
yeah,
that's a luxury as well. They can ease them into action, use them in spots that's most beneficial for the team and for their development. And the same for Lane and Hunt, guys that in the past would have been forced into action right away. Now the coaches can be kind of selective about how they want to use them. So this has been built up through a series of recruiting successes and really good development. And, you know, what you're left with is a group that I'm really excited to watch, and one that I think is going to give a lot of offenses if they go up against a whole lot of problems.
Yeah, and don't forget Khalil Bryant in there as well. He's been working at safety, and he had a solid year, solid bowl game. He's a guy who could contribute, you know, on the second or third team on defense and then on special teams as well. So, you know, then let's move to the middle of the defense, probably the most talked about for the defense with Tigre Scales, who's all-American caliber linebacker. I think he's getting shortchanged as the second-team All-American, you know, behind Josie Jewell. But, you know, they're both quality players, and he'll get his recognition if he plays as well as he did last year. But, you know, Tigre Scales, and then you have Chris Covington there as well. Those two guys, you know, you're going to miss Marcus Oliver's nose for the ball and leadership. But, you know, Chris Covington's very athletic. He's a big guy. He likes to lay the lumber on running backs and makes you feel the hits. So I'm confident that this may be a better linebacking duo than last year, just because Chris Cumming is a little bit more athletic, a little bit faster than Marcus Oliver. And that's no disrespect to Oliver. He was a great linebacker for IU. But just Covington has the tools that Marcus lacked in terms of speed and mobility. But, you know, Tigre speaks for himself. He's going to lead this defense. He loves playing in this defense. And we'll see. It'll be tough to replicate that the season he had last year with 120-some-odd tackles, 23.5 tackles for loss, you know, 7-some-odd sacks. And especially, you know, the coaching staff had said they wanted to limit his snaps early in games so that he's fresh for the fourth quarter. So that's where this depth at the linebacking position is going to come in handy. And at those depths, they have Mike McGinnis coming in. He was a JUCO All-American. Coach Inge today, when we talked to him, said that, you know, he has a nose for the ball like Marcus Oliver, and that he's a heat-seeking missile. He's come away with a couple takeaways as well. Then Raekwon Jones has looked fantastic this fall camp behind him. Mo Burnham looks the part, needs to get there mentally. He's still a freshman, and you know, he needs to learn the playbook a little bit better to become more comfortable. But, you know, Coach Inge said that when he knows the play and knows his reads, man, he shows flashes of being really good. Back there, Keontae Walton, who switched from safety, put on a little weight. He's a guy who could run in there as well and spell Tigre or Covington. It's just this defense, I think, is, you know, I don't throw around the word loaded too often, but this defense is loaded and ready to go. And as long as they figure out what this defensive line is, it's going to be a fun defense to watch for IU again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can really understate how impressive Tigre Scales was last year and the ceiling that we think he has for this year. I mean, I think that he's probably – he has not had the best career of any IU defender that I've been able to watch live and have a, you know, distinct memory of, just because he didn't really have tremendous freshman and sophomore years. They were good, but not outstanding. His junior year was just, you know, he took it to basically two higher levels. I think he, you know, just took it up two notches. And with a, you know, with a really great season this year, there's no doubt in my mind that he can go down as one of the best Indiana defensive players of all time. He's not there yet, because there have been a lot of really good Indiana defensive players. Most of them, you know, are their playing days are quite a ways in the past, but Tigre Scales, I think, in terms of modern day Indiana football, I'd put him up there with anyone that has put on the cream and crimson. And then Chris Covington, I think you're right. His athleticism and speed is going to be a lot of fun to watch. The biggest concern for me for the linebackers is just that the inexperience behind those two guys, which is not uncommon for college, but still it is a little bit of a concern, especially if one of those guys misses a couple of games. You're looking at, you know, not very many players that have seen a lot of snaps. Damian Willis.
Damian Willis is a guy I forgot to mention, and Coach Inge is very high on him, and he played well against Purdue and in the bowl game.
Yeah, I was going to say he's probably the first. I would think that him and McGinnis are probably the first two that step in there, and then probably Raekwon Jones, and then I think ideally Mo Burnham would be able to. Ideally, I think Burnham would be able to redshirt, but that's counting on, you know, counting everybody staying fresh and healthy. Obviously, injuries, you know, could change what you're able to do. Thomas Allen, the guy that is going to redshirt, obviously, you know, Coach Allen's son, so he's another future depth piece there. But I think you're looking at feeling really good about your probably first five or six guys, which is good, but those, you know, those second team and third team guys, they really don't have very many snaps under their belt at this level. Mike McGinnis played a lot of football at the junior college level, but you know, it's a different speed and it's a different game, and you do worry if one of those frontline guys miss a couple games, the ability for that linebacking core to cope. But beyond that, there's very few concerns that I have about this linebacking core's ability to play at a high level, mainly because I think the personnel fits the scheme so well. And that it's been, you know, as kind of one of the understated things about what Tom Allen was able to do when he came in was how well he was able to fit the personnel into the scheme. You know, some of that's luck, that some of that personnel was on hand. And then some of that, you know, needs to be chalked up to how really good of a defensive coach and a good motivator Tom Allen is to get these guys to buy into what this system could combine with their hard work.
Yeah. And I'm just going through the IU roster right now in terms of linebacker depth. There are a couple walk-on guys, maybe guys you haven't heard of, but if you just look at their heights and weights, they have the heights and weights to make an impact. Kenny Arnold is a guy who's played on special teams, and seen spot duty at linebacker. You have Tom Bolstead, 6'1", 230, redshirt freshman. Who else you have? You have Andrew Stamp, redshirt freshman, 6'2", 225. Those are guys who, you know, if they play well, you can see time on special teams become an impact on special teams and things like that. You know, Mike McGinnis is really had a nose for the ball there. We talked about him. But, you know, if you could get these guys where you don't have to play Tigre Scales or Raekwon Jones or Chris Covington on all these special teams units, they'll be fresher for those fourth quarters to where, you know, maybe you don't give up a field goal to Utah late in the game. You know, you don't give up that big run to Michigan late in the game, and you could hang on and beat some of these teams. So I think freshness is, you know, and there's depth. You just depth that they haven't had in a long time at IU that makes you very excited for this defense. But TJ, let's switch to special teams, and then we'll have all our previews finished. Special teams is something that I obsess over. It's something that Kevin Wilson did not obsess over. Tom Allen is a former special teams coordinator, takes this extremely seriously. I think you're going to see that impact on the field. You're bringing in a new punter in Hayden Whitehead from Australia, from that Pro Kick Australia program. He's had a fantastic spring game. It's too bad they didn't show his punts on TV as much. Unfortunately, I couldn't attend the spring game, but from the accounts that I've heard is that he was booming punts all over the field and can be that weapon that we saw Cam Johnston be at Ohio State, where Ohio State would have the ball inside their own 25. IU would force a three and out, and all of a sudden they punt and you turn and IU starting inside their 20 or their own 25 as well. And having a guy like that to win the field position battle can be huge. You know, you have Griffin Oakes coming back. Hopefully Griffin Oakes could be the Griffin Oakes from 2015. I think there are a lot of factors that went into his struggles last year. Coach Wilson mentioned that he had a quad injury. I just think that that miss from the Pinstripe Bowl and then everybody harking on that the kick was good. And I know we did that as well. But having, you know, seeing that signs, T-shirts, all of that, I think that got in his head a little bit. And the best thing to do is put that behind you and go kick the next one. And then he struggled against FIU in the opener, and he just opened the can of worms. And Kevin Wilson kind of lost faith. He saw that in his red zone play calling, you know, where he would go for it, where normally maybe in 2015 you'd see him run Oaks out there and get, you know, an almost guaranteed 3 points. And so hopefully Griff has put that miss against Utah from last year behind him and comes out and can be that weapon to where you could get those 3 points late in the half or at the end of the game. Or maybe, you know, that red zone offense wasn't clicking that time and you have to settle for three and you could punch it in that way. And then finally on kick and punt return, you have a lot of athletes now. You have a lot of guys with speed. You're probably going to see Jayshon Harris back at punt returner, maybe Luke Timian, Rashard Fant. Guys, the most important thing I think on punt return is just catch the ball. That's half the battle. Catch the ball, and then if you can make some guys miss and get some positive yards, those are those hidden yards that help decide a game. Same on kick return. Probably see Devontae Williams, maybe Cole Guest back there as well. Ricky Brookins has returned kicks. And then you have some of these freshmen, Raheem Lane, LaDainian Hunt. These guys are really fast, long striders who can make people miss in space and take it to the house. You know, those yards, you know, returning the ball out to the 30, 35, these are the yards that are the difference between maybe a touchdown and a field goal. A field goal and a punt and things like that. So these yards are important. I think they're putting an emphasis on it. I think they're going to clean up that area of the game. And, you know, special teams could once again become a strength. If IU wants to break through and get to those 7 or 8 wins that Tom Allen expects and beyond, they're going to need to have a good special teams unit. And I think they will this year. They need things to go the right way. But I think, you know, if they scheme up returns a little bit better, get Griffin Oaks back on track, you know, they've recruited the positions well after, you know, for 2018 and beyond. And we'll see. You know, it's now let's go out and prove it. So that's my take on special teams. I know I obsess over it. It's probably one of my favorite things to talk about as a football nerd. But these are the small things that determine games. And, you know, you saw it last year against Nebraska. You saw it against Ohio State where they gave up a long return and things like that, you know, change momentum of the game. And if you could get a late field goal in the half or return that kick for a touchdown, really swings the momentum in your favor. And then, you know, one of the things I'd like to see Griffin Oaks do that they didn't do last year, he was so good at onside kicks and stealing that possession on offense that I don't know why they didn't do it as much last year, or they, you know, other teams schemed to protect against it. But man, in 2015 and 2014, he was really good at those onside kicks. And I'd like to see them roll the dice on that a little bit more this year, maybe steal an offensive possession, steal some points where they didn't do that last year.
Yeah, and speaking of kickoffs, I mean, that's another thing that kind of slipped last year. No, kind of. I mean, it did. It slipped. Just the number of touchbacks that Oaks was able to get, and the number of times that the ball would, you know, sail out of bounds.
I believe he had four or five kicks go out of bounds.
Yeah. I mean, and that's another thing that, you know, needs to be cleaned up. And I think that something that I feel like is going to help Griffin Oaks, and we have no inside information on this. This is pure speculation. But something I feel like just fits better for him is the positivity and the positive outlook of Tom Allen versus Kevin Wilson, who it just seemed like if Kevin Wilson could choose to never speak to the kicker, that's probably what he would have chosen to do. And I think that Oaks and any person would, you know, maybe have a little bit of a struggle with that. Maybe, you know, your confidence wanes a little bit, then you miss a kick and it gets worse. And then, you know, you got the quad injury and everything just kind of snowballs. And I think that Tom Allen's positivity might just gel a little bit better for Griffin Oaks' game. Again, that's all speculation, but it's my, you know, but from a punting standpoint, I'm very excited for the Aussie, Hayden Whitehead. I think that he's a big addition, and he could have, you know, as much impact as just about any freshman on the team outside of, you know, Morgan Allison. That's true. Newcomer, I should say. Outside of Morgan Allison or Juan Harris, he could have, you know, just about as big an impact as any newcomer. It is a big deal. It really is. You look at the S&P Plus numbers, the teams that have good special teams units, typically they're pretty good teams. I mean, you don't have very many bad teams with really good special teams units. For a lot of reasons, but when you score on special teams, the odds of you winning the game, the percentage of the time that you win the game, skyrockets. And that's not a coincidence. I mean, it's a huge sample size that these numbers have been looked at, and they're, like you said, gigantic momentum changing plays, and they don't have to be scores, but you know, that could certainly be nice, but, you know, just positive returns where you're, you know, breaking one out 40 or 50 once every few weeks. Or, like you said, the on punt returns, just catching the ball, no muffs, and then just making the right decision on to when to catch the ball and when to gamble that it's going to be a touchback. You know, they're – I feel like Mitchell Page was pretty good at that aspect of it, making those decisions as far as, you know, where your cutoff is different for every team. But generally speaking, inside the 10 in college, you're going to let that thing go and take your chances that it's going to roll into the end zone. And then you get a touchback as opposed to being stuck back inside the 10 and putting your offense in a hole. I just think that the more that your special teams, the more you focus on it and the more you make it a part of your daily routine to get better at special teams and let your players know, because the more you practice on it, the more you emphasize it, the more your players know this is important. And I mean, it's very obvious. Kevin Wilson didn't believe that. And that's fine, to each his own. But I feel like it is a third phase of the game, and it's important enough that I think it should be, you know, a daily part of practice focuses on and tries to improve upon, and that you play the personnel that gives you a chance to be good at it. Don't ignore, you know, the personnel that goes out there and try to find the best fit for who it can be. You know, who ends up returning kicks is anybody's guess. I do think Harris ends up returning punts. And then I'm going to guess that Devontae Williams gets a shot at kick return. And I don't know who the second kick returner is going to be necessarily, but I do think that Indiana has enough players, like you said, that they should be able to find a couple of guys that can be really dangerous back there, but they're going to have to improve the blocking on it, because too often the blocking on those returns have been really lacking, where guys don't have a chance to get past the 20 unless they can break three or four tackles and evade, you know, half a coverage unit, because IU's blocking just was not up to par. So it's really important. I think the punting is going to see a big increase. I think Oaks, the key for him is just being steady and consistent and reliable. He doesn't have to be, you know, nailing 50-yarders, but he needs to be reliable on the kicks that he needs to hit. And you need to feel confident every time he goes out there. And he needs to feel confident every time he goes out there. And then he's got to go back to getting those kickoffs consistently into the end zone. The return game, just eliminate the mistakes in the return game, break an occasional big play. The special teams unit does not have to be great. It doesn't have to be great, but it needs to be better than average for Indiana to have the breakthrough year that they need to have.
Yep, and they got to fix the protection on the field goal unit and the punt unit. That way your kickers can just focus on kicking the ball and not have to worry about, you know, guys coming free. That was a big disaster last year. It came into play against Wake Forest a lot, where you just saw guys running free. Michigan as well, they schemed that up pretty well. So Tom Allen talked to us about it at Media Day, about scheming up and fixing that protection and getting Griffin Oaks to just think about kicking the ball, to focus on, instead of worrying about where protection is, where it's going to break down, things like that. So hopefully they get that fixed. I think you're good enough on offense to score some points and be better than last year. And the defense, you know, they have a shot. They could get by. The offense is better than last year. The defense could hold their own and still be 47th in the country, and IU will have a fine season. But if the defense wants to achieve their goals, I think they have the talent and the will to do so there. And if you're talking about a top 25 defense, fixing the special teams unit, you talk about a real special season and doing that. But all those things have to come together. If one of those things breaks down, you know, IU, they're not at the point to where there are a lot of should win games, or, you know, to mark them down in permanent markers as a win. There are a lot of games and a lot of our predictions, season predictions, come down to, you know, can they win these 50-50 games? Can at Virginia is a toss-up game. At Maryland, at Michigan State, those games are, you know, between a 40% chance on FPI and a 50-some-odd% chance. Those are toss-up games. You know, do you lose those two, or do you split them, or do you sweep those two games? And then at the end of the year, you have Illinois, Purdue, and Rutgers, not in that order, of course. But those are games that, you know, they're not toss-up games. Those are games IU has to win in order to get to those 6 and 7 wins. And if you could get all three of these phases working well and everybody working together, going in the right direction, you're going to see them win more games than they lose this year. So that's our defense and special teams preview of the year. TJ, let's do a season prediction. I know I'm just throwing this at you. What is your season prediction?
Well, I know that I tend to be optimistic. I don't think it's, you know, wildly crazy homer optimistic, but I, you know, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Indiana. You know, I'm always going to, when I feel like there's reason for it, I'm always going to tend to hope and really see a reason to, you know, be invested in the team if you're, you know, constantly doubting whether or not they are capable of achieving things. That doesn't seem like a way to go through life to me. So as a result of my somewhat optimistic nature, I'm going to go with 7-5 and, you know, the first winning season that they've had. And then, you know, not knowing anything about the bowl game or who the opponent would be, I feel like they'll break through and get that bowl win, achieve that winning season, achieve that end that bowl drought. I certainly don't see a conference title. I don't see them crossing that off the to-do list. But so my, I guess my final prediction there would be 8-5. And if offered that today, I would certainly take that. I think the 9 total wins, so a 9-4 season, I think is the absolute ceiling. But I'm gonna go, with 8-5, and I'd be very disappointed with anything less than 6 victories in the regular season. Not making a bowl game with the talent on hand, to me, would mean that quite a few things went wrong.
Yeah, and you could buy TJ's Kool-Aid outside in the tailgate, you know, $10 a cup, proceeds go to Hoosier Huddle.
Yeah.
But
very tasty.
I heard it's good, very tasty. It's the red flavor of Kool-Aid, which I think it might be fruit punch.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I agree with you. You know, it wouldn't shock me if this team wins anywhere from 5 to 8 games. 9 wins would be a shock. 10 wins, an absolute shock. Could they? Yes. I think if you take it one game at a time and break it down, that they could, you know, there's a chance at every game. But I think realistically, the game 7, I'm going to say 7-5. The season really hinges on that game at Virginia. I think that is the most important game of the season in terms of how this is going to go. Regardless of the outcome against Ohio State, win, lose, or draw, you have to win that game. If you beat we've said it a number of times on the show, if you beat Ohio State, you cannot go the next week and lose to Virginia and think that you're changing anything at IU. And conversely, if you lose to Ohio State, you cannot start the season 0-2. You got to get out of September 3-2. That means you're sweeping your non-conference with losses to Ohio State and Penn State. They have, you know, Michigan State and Maryland in October. If you could get out of October with 4 wins, at 4-3, that means you're winning 2 out of 3 there. Or you're winning, you just have, you know, Michigan's going to be what it is. I think that that's a great chance for them to beat one of these top 10 teams. But coming down to those back-to-back road trips against Michigan State and Maryland, if they could just split those 2 games, come out at 1-1 and come out of October 4-3, you're really set up for 7 wins, that back into the schedule of at Illinois, Rutgers at home, and at Purdue. So get through get through October 4-3, and you're good to go. And I know a lot of people, some local media as well, think that this schedule is really tough. It's very manageable. I mean, it's Virginia's not great. You do have to go on the road. The Big Ten East is tough. Maryland can be tough, but you get out of October and you get a break. You get Wisconsin, and then you have Illinois, Rutgers, and Purdue to end the season. If you get to that stretch with 4 wins, you're almost, you know, you should win 7, get to that bowl game, and then, you know, all bets, who knows who we're playing, where we're playing, and things like that. So it'll be it'll be a fun season. I think seven wins, it is where it is. If they get eight, great. If they get more than eight, color me shocked, but I'll be happy. Things fall apart, five wins can happen too. If you lose that Virginia game and things start to go downhill, 0-2, people start to grumble. Five wins could happen as well, and you could get to five wins with those three wins at the end. Although I don't see, if you get to 2-7 and you get to Illinois at 2-7, you're in trouble. We'll see. This is as good as I felt about the IU football program, and we'll see in 15 days where this team is at, and we'll see. I don't think the rotation is going to be as wide open as it would be against a normal opener against a lesser opponent. They might tighten it up a little bit against Ohio State, but man, it's going to be fun. I am super pumped for this. With 4 hours of pregame, we'll have our own pregame as well, and then just being on every channel on ESPN is going to be cool. But anyway, TJ, thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking the time to talk IU football. You can read TJ's previews. He has the O-line and safety previews up on HoosierHuddle.com. We'll have corners up tomorrow afternoon as well, and then we'll go through all the positions. And before you know it, it'll be game week, and it'll be time to go out and take on the number 2 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. And the next time we talk, it'll be game week. So I hope everyone can join us for that and get yourself dialed in. We'll be doing plenty of prep work for the Buckeyes. That's already started for me, and I know for you as well. So we'll have all the scouting reports that you need to get you ready for that huge Thursday night opener. And then, of course, every week after that, we'll have, just about the best coverage you can find for Indiana football. So looking forward to it. It's been a lot of fun all off season, but I know we're both really ready to get this thing underway.
Yeah, I'm ready. I will enjoy my week at the beach next week, get my game face on, and we'll be, off to Bloomington next, or in 2 weeks. And I hope fans show up. I really think they'll be excited, and having game day there is just going to add to it. What we haven't mentioned is that Kevin Wilson's coming back as well. But that to me, it's the focus needs to be on IU football. It's a nice storyline that Kevin Wilson's coming back, or an interesting storyline. But this is Tom Allen's team now, and IU fans need to get excited. I think they are excited, and I can't wait to be down in Bloomington on that Thursday with all the IU fans, seeing that atmosphere and just soaking it all in. But thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter @Hoosier_Huddle. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes as well. And subscribe to our YouTube channel. We will be having exclusive YouTube content this season with us. We'll make a formal announcement here in the next couple weeks. Or in the next couple of days about what that content might be. But enjoy the rest of your evening. 2 more weeks, 15 days, and we'll have IU football back by 17.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.